This is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Right?
Amen.
Everybody all right? Oh, boom. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where are we going tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you turn to Proverbs 3, please? Proverbs chapter 3. Can everybody hear me all right? Okay. Proverbs chapter 3. Glory to God. Everybody did their deliverances last night, their confessions. Amen. Of the spirit of fear and the unloving Antichrist spirit. Right? Good. I'm going to review a little bit on that tonight. Oh. Glory to God. In Proverbs chapter 3, would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Hello, you know that's talking about health. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, that is a process. Because once you begin to start leaning on your understanding, you've just bit the bait. But God always gives us an opportunity to spit out the hook. It says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. That means relationship. Oh, you can know the word inside out, memorize every book and every word, dot, comma, T, and everything else, and still go to hell. Hello? Because it's relationship. Knowledge was given to me and you so that we would have discernment to know what is of God and what's not of God, and to walk in that path. In fact, the word is a representation of the tutor, but the spirit is the mentor. The Word is the tutor, and the Spirit is the mentor. Amen? That's why the Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit bring life. Because if you can't walk it, it's going to kill you. Amen? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll what? He shall direct your paths. Sometimes we don't even understand our path. But He said, don't worry about your own understanding, right? Just acknowledge Him and keep walking with Him. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's powerful. And we've been talking about walking healthy. You know, this is a holistic ministry. We want a healthy spirit, soul, and body, don't we? Amen. Amen. You know, it's not always God. We believe God heals, right? And He does heal. I mean, we've seen miraculous healings. But His perfect will is for you and I not to be sick. Right? I mean, that's what He wants us to get into, a place where you and I are not sick. I mean sick in spirit, sick in soul, sick in flesh. In fact, the Word tells us that it'll be good health to you. As much as your soul will prosper, so shall your health prosper. That means that you and I must be renewed. And the word renewed means to bring to remembrance. Because your mind and my mind can never be renewed. Does everybody understand it? You know what's renewed? It's a representation. The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. As you associate with the Holy Spirit, He's always quickening and bringing your mind up to the Word of God, isn't He? That's why the Word tells us, and the Holy Spirit will bring these things to remembrance. That's where people fall into problems. They're trying to memorize the Word of God. And they have it up here, but not here, not in the heart. Because the relationship with the Spirit has been nullified. Hello? That's why the letter killeth and the Spirit brings life. Jesus was known as the Word, wasn't he? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he was known as the Anointed One. Amen? He was now the Anointed Word. He didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon him, right? Because then the Word became alive. Now we know that the Word became flesh, didn't it? And then the Word was anointed. But we know that there was an example for me and you. I mean, Jesus could have popped out of mommy's womb and gone out and cast out devils if he wanted to. Amen? But that's not how God ordained it. So, because he was the example for me and you, wasn't he? So that we could walk in the same way. So understand that the first thing he's saying, depart from evil. In other words, do not associate or do not agree with evil. It will bring sickness to you. Amen? Don't lean on your own understanding, so we need to get a new understanding. Depart from evil and don't agree with any evil will be health to your flesh and bones if you don't agree with it. Now, your bones is a representation where your blood cells are produced from the marrow. That's what increases your immune system. If your bones are sick, then you're not producing healthy blood cells. Amen? Remember we read, I think we read with you guys, I don't remember. But anyways, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Because we need to have the clean blood now, don't we? We need to have healthy blood. That's why Jesus' father was not from a man. Because his blood was the only pure blood on this planet. It had to be pure so it could take on all the sins and then die for me and you. Hallelujah. So when you associate with evil, something begins to happen to your health in spirit and soul and body. Remember we shared a while ago, we are a triune being, aren't we? We are spirit, soul, and body. And your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. The will is the doorway to your spirit. That is that door that opens and shut. What the devil is trying to do is contaminate your spirit. If he can contaminate your spirit, because your heart is the character of your spirit. So if he can contaminate your spirit, your heart will show it. Has everybody got it? You know, you and I were born messed up, weren't we? That's why the Bible talks about our heart being evil. Because it was the character of our spirit, wasn't it? Because you and I were the father of Satan. We were the children of Satan. We were born in the kingdom of darkness. But we were not accountable, were we? There's an age of accountability. That's why when children die, their names are not blotted out. Everybody got it? Because they're not accountable. There's no children in hell. All right? So we see here that we must protect ourselves, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? So we got to get knowledge so that we don't open ourselves up to demonic realms. We don't touch unclean things. We walk right with God. It doesn't mean that you won't fall. It doesn't mean that you won't stumble. But it means you won't break covenant. There's a difference. There is sin unto death and sin not unto death. And you don't want to break covenant with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody there? In verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, He will be a vessel of honor. So it's our responsibility to keep ourselves clean, isn't it? He will be a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Sanctified and useful for the master. Prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust. So he's telling us, listen, man, get cleaned up. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, someone with a pure heart is a representation of he's got a clean spirit. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So what's the devil trying to do? Get you to do his will. Amen? That's his whole purpose. So you and I are to cleanse ourselves from present sin. We're to cleanse ourselves from iniquity of the past by repentance, which is the washing of the blood of Christ. Escaping the snare of doing the will of the devil. That's what you and I are always escaping. Do you understand that? The Lord says he always makes a way of escape for his righteous ones. Hallelujah. So repentance is one of the major ministries that will continue. Amen? It will continue. Turn to John 10. It should be a part of your life now. You know? There should be no second guessing about repentance. It should be a part of your life. When you do something, you know it, and you repent of it. There should be, if you have to think whether you need to repent or not, you better. And spit the hook out. And repent for pride. Let's see, was that my fault or theirs? Do I need to repent? Forget it, man. Repent for just associating with it, man. Don't take no stuff. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. In other words, I am the will. He was the will of God that was manifested, wasn't he? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. That's a place of rest and you can eat good. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal every righteous seed. Amen. He's trying to kill the will of God in you. And he's trying to destroy your life. Has everybody got it? He's trying to steal the righteous seed, kill the will of God, and destroy you. That's not a very nice guy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So the desire of God's will is that we would have life abundantly. Right? But the devil wants to steal. Jesus always gives life. That was his purpose. He didn't come to take life. He came to give life. The problem is that the devil likes to tell you that, oh man, what do I have to give up now? Oh man, what do I, you know, people get, you know what that is? Fear. Isn't it? It's fear. What do I have to give up now? Man, if that comes out of your mouth, you're associating with a demon of fear. You know, when Saul had his encounter with the Lord, you know the first words were out of his mouth? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It's a whole different new Saul. He was bound by religious demons big time. He thought he was doing the things of God by going out and killing people. He couldn't even uphold the law, could he? He was a murderer. But when he saw the truth, when he saw the light, Jesus slam dunked him. He said, Lord, he knew instantly that was God. And he said, I'm Jesus. He said, okay, I accept that right now. You know, he was repenting big time. Oh, hallelujah. And then he says, okay, what do you want me to do? And he said, okay, I want you to go to somebody's house and hang out until I get there through my servant. Amen? And you're going to get hands laid on you. He had to blind him so he'd obey him. Hello? He wanted to separate him. So many times we need to be separated from the things of the world. We need to be blinded from the things of the world so that our eyes are only on Christ. Oh, hallelujah. So the devil wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy in John 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? And Jesus said to them, I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. Well, that's a total opposite from steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. And that is a process, isn't it? We've talked about this. This is a process of life. That's why when Jesus came, he said, I'm the way, truth, and life. That is a process that you and I will go through. Today I was in the service in the jail, and one of the chaplains came in and started talking with me, and to God be the glory, I'm not going to get real into it. And he said to me, you know, there's no formula. And I thought, well, there is. But we don't call it a formula. It's called a process. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is a process of everyone's life and everything. To do the will of God, to get healed, to get delivered, to get salvation. Everything is a process through the way, the truth, and the life. It's even a representation of the first three feasts. And only Jesus could fulfill them. We have a wonderful teaching called the way, truth, and life. Amen? And it's a representation of the first three feasts. Praise God. So we see, he said, I am the way, truth, and life in this process that we're going through. So there's always a process, and in the way is a representation of repentance, isn't it? Amen? The truth is to renounce, because you must know the truth. The truth sets you free, and what you're doing is your fight is against the devil, not against anyone else. That's why Jesus went descended before he ascended. Hello? Who did he fight? He wasn't fighting nobody. He went after the devil. So your fight's against the powers of darkness. So as you repent and you renounce, you break those powers of darkness off of you, then you're able to receive. So it's repent, renounce, and receive is the process. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. John 8, glory to the Lamb. Isn't that what we're doing? We're repenting, we're renouncing, and we're receiving.
Amen.
But if there isn't true repentance there and there isn't renouncing there, you can't receive. It's difficult. And John chapter 8, and verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought Jesus a woman caught in adultery. When they had set her in his midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Ooh, they caught her. They probably set her up. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Oh, the devil always challenges you, man. Always challenges you. This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which to what? Accuse him. Oh, we talked about that spirit of accusation. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Man, that must have ripped those guys apart. I mean, you know, like, you know about the Holy Ghost just went, whoa. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. Brothers, it's you and him. There it is, it's you and him. And I'll never forget when I was in jail and I was doing life, and I got an opportunity to go to the parole board. Now, when you get busted in New York, they just started these Rockefeller laws that if you get busted with anything, I had 6 counts of 26 to life. I ended up getting sentenced to life, but I was able to go to parole board. I had to do a minimum of 1 year behind the wall, and then they were going to let me go to the parole board, but they could still hold me for life. And when I was out of that hallway, I thought, man, nobody goes in there. No attorney, no letter of recommendation, no nothing. And it's like, man, it's like going in the judgment room of God. Nobody goes there. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brothers, your pastor, nobody goes in there to represent you. It's you and the Lord. That's it. I thought, whoa, this is pretty. These people could hold my life. They could tell me come back in 10 years. They could tell me come back in 15 years. But they didn't, thank God. Oh, man. He's 20 years old and sentenced to life. Praise God. I think by then, when I finally started my time, I think I was 21 or something like that. But the Lord had mercy upon me. And I'll never forget when I entered those walls in Attica and I said, you know, God, I'm not blaming you. This is my fault. It's my fault. I'm not blaming you. I mean, I really didn't know him, but, you know, didn't even know if he was hearing me. I was just hoping he was. Because I didn't know the Lord at all. Hallelujah. So it's you and the Lord, right? And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Oh, she called him Lord, man. She acknowledged him. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in deception. That's darkness. Shall not walk in association and agreement in of the kingdom of darkness. Does everybody understand that? Now, I know it says, shall not walk in darkness. Well, walking in darkness means you're walking and associating with the kingdom of darkness or agreeing with them, and you're walking in deception, because that's his major weapon, deception, and his power is fear. But have the light of life. Oh, hallelujah. Anyone who follows me, remember, what's the word follow me? To represent believe. If you're not a believer, if you're not a follower, you're certainly not a believer. You're a liar. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Pete chapter 3. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Woohoo! Bless. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, the Lord bless you. Amen. You know, you just spoke a blessing over him. And what you sow, you reap. Amen? In verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. So you just bless somebody. Right? And his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against all those who do evil. Wow. So even an association and agreement with evil, what the devil's trying to do is get you to speak it now. So for you to speak it, you must first hear it. Faith comes by hearing, right? Oh, thank you, Lord. I guess we better go somewhere else. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Thank you, Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Start rebuking that heavy spirit, that lazy spirit, that sluggish spirit, that tired spirit. In the name of Jesus, we just rebuke it right now. Break the power off of anyone in this room that spirit's loving to attach to and getting fed. Command it to leave in Jesus' name. And that doubting spirit, in the name of Jesus. And especially that spirit that says, man, I heard this before. Man, I heard this before. I don't need to hear. I'm all right with that. You better spit that hook out quickly. Now, the Spirit expressly says, come on, I'll read it with me. Expressly says, that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Isn't that simple enough? What's that mean? Listening, taking heed means what you hear. What's he going to do? Give you a doctrine of Jesus? No way. He's going to try and give you one close to it, though. But it's going to be a doctrine of a demon. It's going to be real close. He'll even throw some of the Word of God in that doctrine. But it won't be him. Taking heed to deceiving spirits. That means association with the kingdom of darkness, right? What's he trying to do? Get you to speak something? No. So you can sow. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 39. Hallelujah. Psalm 39. I think. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Psalm 39. Is everybody there?
What number?
2300. Okay. Thank you. Starting at verse 1. Let's read it together, 1 through 3. I said I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. You know what? That means that deceiving spirits. Let me tell you, if you could see in the spiritual realm, you'd see these demons running right up to you and yell right at you. I remember for a while, the Lord was giving me dreams about certain demons and showing me what some of them looked like and what was going on. And it was blowing my mind. And they'll run right up to you, speak to you. They stand right before you. And they may be using someone to speak to you too. While the wicked are before me, what did he say? I muzzled my mouth. You know what? Did you ever have to muzzle your mouth because you knew you wanted to really say something? That devil was telling you to say something. And you said, no, I can't say it. You know, I remember one day it was, something was going on, And I knew if I would have done what I flesh wanted me to do, which was that voice of the stranger, I'd have gotten thrown right out of jail. So, again. Hallelujah. But it was like, man, all right, Lord, thank you. I mean, it was powerful. But God, I mean, I saw the hand of God move, though. That we had people coming against our worship services. I had officers pull me out and just ream me down, man. But you know what? Some of them weren't there anymore. One of them ended up in a hospital with a heart attack or something like that. I prayed for him. But you know, God says, don't touch his anointed. Where's anointed, man? You know, you're someone that's trying to bring people in God's presence. Oof. Daddy protects you. He protects you. It says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear and reverence God. What a wonderful way to reverence him, but then to be a worshiper instead of a pew warmer. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And he knew he couldn't even speak good right now. He couldn't say, I love you. Because he didn't want to say it. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my ages as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all of my transgressions. He started repenting, didn't he? Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. He realized he didn't have the strength himself. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Now he starts laying his prayer down. And give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. That's a powerful, humble prayer. Amen. So he realized his tongue, right? Lest I sin, help. See, the devil wants you to speak, doesn't he? But first it means you got to hear something before you speak it. Everybody hears something before they speak. The problem is nobody is conscious of what they want to say. You know what I'm saying? They just speak out. The Bible calls them a fool, someone who just speaks without even acknowledging it. We must take dominion over our tongue, right? It's the most unruly member. That's why when you get frustrated, pray in the Spirit. That way you can't hurt nobody. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18. All to God be the glory. Proverbs 18. I am getting somewhere. In verse 21, read it with me. Oh, hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, as you and I are walking this through, we're repenting, we're renouncing, and we're receiving, aren't we? Amen? That means there's life and death in the power of the tongue. The Bible tells us that your tongue can curse or your tongue can bless. Now, we just spoke a blessing over everyone, right? Hallelujah. That means you're blessed. When people ask me how I am, I do not go by what I feel. especially what I think sometimes. I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. Somebody used to ask me how you're doing. This woman called me today from Georgia. Said, hi, is this such and such? I said, yes. She said, how are you? I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. She said, what? I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. Praise God. What am I doing? I'm speaking those things in, aren't I? Calling those things that are not as though they are. Ooh. You know, faith, there is evidence of faith. It's tangible. Oh, I'm not going to get into all that right now. The tongue will deposit good or bad seed. Do you understand it? It will deposit good or bad seed. Somebody can deposit bad seed in you. Some of us were brought up with corruptible seed. Where there's corruptible seed, it's called a cursed seed. Cursed seeds draw demonic activity. Because any accursed item will draw demonic activity, right? So every night before you go to bed, you need to get rid of those corruptible seeds. Father, I take dominion. I command every one of these corruptible seeds. I command them to wither and die, rip them out by the roots, that only your righteous seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Bad company corrupts good habits, doesn't it? Amen. Same as thoughts. Corruptible seed through a thought, isn't it? What you hear is what you speak. Not, hopefully not in every area. But what you hear is what they're trying to get you to speak, isn't it? But what you speak is what you get. So the devil's trying to get you to touch and agree with what he's saying, because it says it will come to pass. Amen? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I mean, 1 Peter chapter 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. In verse 6 and through 8, In verse 6 it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be what? Sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring. A roaring lion means he's an ant with a megaphone. Somebody got it? The Bible says the devil can't touch you unless you let him. So you just got to look at this little ant with this huge megaphone. Did you ever see the Blues Brothers? Remember they had that big thing in it? And he said, on the car? Right? And they had this big megaphone out there trying to draw people. That's all the devil is an ant with a megaphone. But you must respect his power. Now, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. But man, you give him anything, he'll take it. He's looking to re-access me and you. Because your devil, the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Amen? What's he trying to do? He's trying to impart something in you. The first thing he tries to impart in you is fear. Fear. Fear of not being wrong. Woohoo. You know, pride is fear. Pride is a high-ranking demon trying to protect the rest of them. Pride gets in front and says, hey, hold on, I'll protect the rest of these demons. That's okay, dudes. No problem. Yeah, what you want, man? Right. He's a strong man. He's a high-ranking demon. And he protects the other demons. But when you bind him, the other one's got to go on him too. Hallelujah. So what's the devil trying to impart? Fear. That's his power, isn't it? Fear. You know how many times people run? They run from fear. They don't even know why they're running. Man, I just can't take it anymore. Why? I don't know. I just can't take it. Man, fear gripped them. Right? Fear. Fear and pride. I love when people come up to me, you know, the Lord's really told me it's time for me to leave. Oh, really? Since when does God interrupt himself? Amen. Well, you don't understand. I had a vision last night. Oh, that was from God. You better repent because you just lied. God never interrupts himself. Amen. Never. He causes delays, though, doesn't he? He likes interrupting us with delays. It's for us. Something says, son, I love you, but come on, it's time to get back on the wheel. I want to bring you to the potter's house for a little bit. There's a few other things I need to straighten you. I know that's my promise, it's coming, but come here a little bit. Let's get rid of that tail. And that horn. And that pierced tongue. Oh, what a trend the devil has, you know? If you look in the Old Testament, so many times, what did they used to do? Shave their heads and pierce themselves. It was an outward rebellion towards God. Amen. You know, people, the world follows the trend, right? Thank God he doesn't look at the outwardness, right? He looks at the heart. People are coming up to you, pierced tongues. And that's nothing but the serpent. And they don't even know it. I mean, I never pierced my tongue, but I had pierced ear and stuff like that, and whatever. But anyway, I remember one day somebody came up to me, and it was a guy in jail, and he was talking to me. I go, man, would you either swallow what's in your mouth, so I can, you know, I thought, what's up with this guy? Then I saw the silver thing. I said, he must have a marble in his mouth or a ball bearing. Man, he's gonna choke on that, you know. Then I realized his tongue was pierced. I thought, whoa, ouch. And then as soon as I saw that, I saw the Holy Spirit gave me, it was like a serpent just shot out with, just like this. And I thought, whoa, pierced tongue. I got it now, Lord. Well, the devil's got these people deceived again. Pierced tongue. Hallelujah. So what's the devil trying to do? In part, fear. Isn't he? Is everybody all right? Come on, we're learning, aren't we? Hallelujah. Well, yeah, go to Jeremiah 7. Glory. I didn't know whether to pat the guy in the back, hit him and tell him, you know, burp it out or something, huh? Jeremiah 7. Like, man, quit spitting on me, will you? Either swallow that thing in your mouth or pierce tongue. I was like, wow. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 21, thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, which Egypt represents world of bondage, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear. Hello? So many people are inclining their ear to everything. It brings confusion. Just like our brother John said, you know, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he finally had one voice. It was like there was no, it was like peace. And that's where the torment is in the mind. Let me tell you something. You don't have to search the voice of God. He comes to you. But you just got to discern. Because sometimes it sounds the same. You have to discern. The Bible says you discern by the fruits. So you got to judge the fruit of that voice. Is it rebellious? Is it going to cause division? Is it going to cause strife? Is it going to hurt? Is it going to cause a stumbling block? Are you speaking out of your soul? Hello? That's where it takes practice, doesn't it? It takes practice. Oh, hallelujah. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Ooh. Since that day your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent to you all of my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Wow. So the Lord wants us to obey, right? Praise God. So it's important that we discern the voice of the Lord, isn't it? It's important because the devil is always going to try and impart fear in me and you. That is his main purpose. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Glory to God. Is everybody there? In verse 7. Actually, let's start at verse 6. Read it with me. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So it's our responsibility to stir ourselves up, right? Amen. Stir yourself up and grab hold of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Whoa. Power, love, and sound mind. A spirit of fear. Once you've associated with the spirit of fear, you'll find that you're froze. There is no power. Right? Next thing you know, there's no love. The only thing that you're interested in is you. And the mind of Christ certainly is not manifesting. Hello? Fear will rip you apart. Fear is a root. It's a spiritual problem. And fear is a lack in trust of God, isn't it? In fact, fear is a lack of faith. In fact, fear is sin. Bible says, do not worry. That means it's sin. So we need to take note about fear. It's important that we begin to discern fear. Fear is always a speculation of some, you know, a projection of future and past. What happens is we're always, the devil will try to bring fear on you of things that you've done in your past that may affect you right now. And then he always puts fear on you of things that what you're doing right now, how is it going to affect you in the future? Amen? Of course, the antidote for fear is a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, isn't it? Fear takes a tremendous hit on our body, man. Now, we talked about the three major arenas of demonic activity, what they use on us as fear, stress, and anxiety. That's all related to one another. The Bible says that in verse 1 John chapter 4, would you go there? First John chapter 4. Hallelujah. in verse 3, I mean in verse 18. There is, that's way off, huh? Verse 3, praise God. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Ooh. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Where's that torment? Between your ears. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The next verse says you have a choice. We love him because he first loved us. So we got to understand that what nullifies fear is a representation of love. Has everybody got it? Actually, one of some of the times the things that open up the door of fear is unloving. Has everybody got that? In other words, an unloving circumstance could be rejection, right? Rejection, people have been rejected. That's a representation of unloving, isn't it? Then people get afraid for rejection. Has everybody got it? So what happens is that seed has been planted, and then now they're afraid to try and open up to someone because they're afraid of being rejected. Because of that breach of love was hit to them. That was planted in them. And they're afraid. You know? Some people are afraid to speak because they're afraid that they might do the wrong thing because they haven't understood the love of God for them. You know, the love of God towards each and every one of us has nothing to do with our performance. Nothing to do with it. He loves me and you even if you're a murderer. He might not like what you did, but he still loves you. Oh, hallelujah. By choosing and receiving the love from God and others and by giving love, we can nullify fear. Has everybody got it? And we know that this is a process, isn't it? It is a process. Jesus is that process, the way, truth, and life. Like I said, these are associated also, fear is associated with unloving spirits. And sometimes an unloving spirit may be blocking you from receiving the love of God. Hallelujah. When we try to avoid fears, this is also an act of fear. Does everybody understand that? When you try to avoid fear, it's also an act of fear itself. Oh, hallelujah. The only way to defeat these fears is to face them. Those are called issues, brothers. Issues in our life. A large part of our walkout is facing our fears in our everyday life. Amen? In our every single day life. This is why we, one of the things that we want to do is as we deal with fear in our life and as we begin to open up ourselves to the Holy Spirit and He begins to expose these things in us, we must be willing to go through the way, truth, and life. Repentance, renounce, and receive. But there are sometimes things that block these things, and these are areas of unloving, a breach of love in our life. Remember, love casts out, perfect love casts out fear. So there's an association with receiving God's love and getting rid of fear. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, would you go to 1 John chapter 1? Oh, I think that's 2. Sometimes I can't read my own writing. 1 John chapter 2. Everybody there? Good. Read verse 18 with me. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, Antichrist is a representation of something coming against the Anointed One and His anointing. The word Christ is a representation of Anointed One. It's a Greek word. It's amazing how they have a Greek word in the English Bible, huh? Hallelujah. So the word Christ represents Anointed One. That means it's a representation of the Holy Spirit, because He's the anointing, isn't He? Jesus was the Anointed One and His anointing. That's why He was known as the Christ. The Antichrist. Now, wait a minute. I'll go back a little bit, because the Bible says God is what? Love. So the Antichrist spirit always comes against the move of the Spirit of God and comes to breach the love of God towards me and you. What he tries to do is block that love coming towards me and you. So you may, so that's why you got to repent, renounce, and what? Receive. And what are you receiving? You're receiving the love of God. That casts out all fear. Because many of us have been, the reason why we went to drugs and alcohol towards the world, there's been a breach of love in our life. And what we're looking for is love. The problem is we've been looking in the wrong places. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So the Antichrist spirit is an unloving spirit which works in all the strong men, particularly in bitterness and rejection. We were just talking about some of that, right? Hallelujah. An unloving spirit is very selfish. It's a very selfish spirit. The only thing it does is focuses itself on me, myself, and I. It is also double-minded. Ooh. Many who have an unloving spirit will proclaim that I do not know who I am and have confusion and disorientation. Oh, praise God. Go to Proverbs 17:22. An unloving spirit is a representation also. It demands that we do not have love and therefore are unable to fulfill God's love in us. Does everybody understand that? But God, also an unloving spirit will always tell you God doesn't forgive you. Has everybody got that? I mean, the devil always going to tell you God can't forgive you. How can God forgive me for what I just did? Who told you that? Man, I better say 14 Our Fathers, run around the church 10 times and do 14 push-ups. Maybe I better walk 14 miles on my knees and then God will forgive me. Maybe I ought to just kill myself. An unloving spirit associates with a spirit of suicide. Self-hatred, low self-esteem, depression, unworthiness. See how fear and an unloving spirit associate with one another? Oh, man. They're twin brothers in disguise. And Proverbs 17, verse 22, what does it say? A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, where is life to your flesh? In the blood. Hello. So when you're joyful, things are different, isn't it? But an unloving spirit and a fearful spirit will put you so much in bondage, you'll be so looking at yourself, you'll be self-condemning and everything else, you can't get your eyes off of you. You'll be tripping over your own shoes. Remember, that's why we went and did drugs. Didn't we try to drown our sorrows? That's why people go to work. How many times have you, you know, when you first start getting clean and whatever, don't you think, oh man, I better stay busy so I don't think about this stuff. Right? That's fear. And that unloving spirit is going right there and saying, yeah man, you better. You better do this. So we see here that a merry heart is a representation of a clean spirit, right? Your spirit being clean. What does it do? It's good like medicine. Hallelujah. But a broken spirit, a broken, it doesn't mean broken is humbleness. It means hurt. Does everybody understand it? It means hurt. A crippled spirit. A wounded spirit. That brings distress. Brings fear. Brings worry. Brings oppression, depression, and eventually possession. But what does that produce? Dry bones. Stress, anxiety, and fear. What do you think that produces? Dry bones. Right? We don't need that. One of the legs of the unloving spirit is self-pity. Woe is me. This spirit will bind you to the past and to the future. He uses super glue. Hallelujah. An antidote for an unloving spirit is the love of God, because perfect love casts out all fear. The spirit of Antichrist. In verse 19 in 1 John chapter 2 it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be manifested, that none of them were of us, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, as you fellowship in the Spirit of God, He's going to quicken you to all things, isn't He? One of the things the Holy Spirit is always saying, I love you. The Lord loves you. What did He say to Jesus? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. See, the Holy Spirit is what brings relationship in the spirit realm. That's why people only have a relationship with the Bible, not the living God. Amen? Oh, but hallelujah. When you receive the love of God, when you start your process of repentance, renouncing, and receiving, you're going to find that you're going to start shedding some skin. And as God begins to expose you more, because that's your desire, to be exposed more, so that you can get freed up more. Don't be afraid. Don't run from your exposure. Run to it. And take that garbage and put it in the trash can before you trip over it. Amen? Until all your trash is emptied into the trash can. And the light of God shines through you in every area of your life. That way you don't go through those cycles no more. That way you don't go on those up and down things. That way when you're walking through the valley of death, you know God is molding you. And you're hallelujahing through it. Yee! Thank you, Lord. That's where it says, count it all joy while you go through your trials and tribulations. Right? But the one that doesn't want freedom, man, he's going, get me out of here! You know, we all say, Lord, please do something with me. When he puts us in the fire and shuts the door, we're screaming, open up! Come on, I'm going to die in here. He goes, that's the point. Hallelujah. He's faithful to complete what He started, brothers. Yeah. But you got to let Him. It takes two to tangle. Amen? You and your daddy. Remember, the Lord removed all those that were accusing that woman, right? Amen. And it was just her and him. And He said to her, okay, no problem. Your accusers are gone. Now go and don't sin no more. I don't accuse you either. Hallelujah. Well, let's take some dominion tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Let's come against this unloving Antichrist spirit and the spirit of fear. To God be the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Father, I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Everybody just, you know, in your spirit, just agree. You know, two touch and agree, it's done, right? Just agree in your spirit. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful and that you cast out the devils by the Spirit of God. So, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have repented for associating with every one of these spirits. And now we take the authority in the name of Jesus. I take the authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I bind the strong man of the spirit of fear that will come against every one of them in this room, including myself. Hallelujah. And all of its cohorts and associated underlining spirits. And I command every one of those spirits, I break your powers off of the individuals in this room and myself in the name of Jesus. And I command that the spirit of fear of deliverance, fear of not being delivered or getting free, fear of being free and independence, panic attacks, phobias, claustrophobia, fear of tomorrow, future, worry, anxiety, and stress, dread, fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of distress, speculative fear, fear of loss, fear of losing life, fear of loss of life, fear of death, fear of wasted time, fear of dying process, fear of dying prematurely, fear of a loss of a spouse, a loved one, or a child, fear of a child not being saved, fear of a lost relationship, and fear of loss of confidence, fear of disease and pain and suffering and disability, disfiguration, doctors, hospitals, and dentists, fear of needles and fear of blood, fear of vomiting, fear of God, fear of punishment, of judgment, losing salvation, evil spirits, fear of fear, superstitions, bad news, distrust in God or man, fear of betrayal, fear of self-consciousness, fear of the public of speaking and performance, fear of shyness, inferiority, criticism, inadequacy, reproof, harassment, facial expressions, another one's bitterness towards you, fear of another one's words or disapproval, fear of verbal rejection, and fear of rejection itself, reproach or being shamed, humiliation, fear of races, cultures, or bigotry, fear of rejection and abandonment, being alone, loneliness, abandoned loved ones through death or disease, fear of not having or not enough of necessities, like food, drink, and water. Fear of poverty. Fear of lack. Fear of failure. Fear of insanity. Fear of dreams at night and darkness and terror at night. Fear of chemicals, allergies, reactions. Fear of nothing. Fear of success, horror, fearfulness, sudden fear, trembling, fear of noises, fear of animals, fear of demons, fear of perfectionism, controlling of others or environment, fear of being controlled, fear of family members, fear of your mother or your father or step-parents, foster parents, fear of going back into bondage, fear of a spouse or a child or natural disasters and fires. Fear of the enemy, war, conflict, authority, menopause. Hallelujah. Fear of sex or loss of it. Fear of own sexuality or another sexuality. Fear of drowning or water. Fear of swimming. Fear of responsibility, commitment, dependency, fear of weapons and being robbed, and fear of being a coward. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take my authority and I command every one of those spirits right now to loose everyone in this room, to leave them, to seek dry ground and not return. I break your power off and the blood of the Lamb come against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now I take my authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I break the powers of darkness over everyone in this room, in the name of Jesus, of every unloving spirit. And I bind the strong man of the unloving spirits, the spirit of Antichrist. And I command those spirits to loose the souls in this room of unloving spirits, self-pride, self-idolatry, selfishness, programming, competition, I and I will, self-exaltation, prefabricated personality, a broken heart, shame, self-pity, self-hatred, self-rejection, self-accusation, self-condemnation, self-bitterness, self-resentment, self-unforgiveness, self-anger, wrath, and hatred, violence and murder, insecurities, fear, rebellion, self-mutilation, annihilation, torment, self-doubt, unworthiness, unbelief, self-questioning, lack of confidence, self-abasement, self-deception, sabotage, division, separation, isolation, loneliness, religious spirits, false pity, victimization, double-mindedness, fornication, adultery, pornography, attention-getting, excessive talking, self-comparison, need for approval, perfectionism, envy and jealousy, addictions, drunkenness, death, suicide, confusion, deception, and depression. And I come against those spirits in the mighty name of Jesus. Not only do I break all of these spirits off of the individuals in this room, but off of their ancestral sources, off of their children, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I not only do this with the spirit of coming against the spirit of Antichrist, but also coming against the spirit of fear that are coming down to their children. We repent also for every child in this room that has been born out of wedlock. I break in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth the curse of the bastard curse. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke and command that spirit of rejection to loose them. Everyone that's been adopted in this room, I break that right now, the spirit of rejection off of them. In the name of Jesus, and I command those spirits to loose them right now in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of homosexuality and perversion because it's associated with fear also in the name of Jesus. Unloving spirit, I come against that perverse spirit and I break its power right now in the name of Jesus, and I command to leave each and every one in this room in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Father, we just thank you. We lift our hands to heaven. We honor you and we worship you. We exalt your holy name.